Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, Tom. We're going to be hearing, I hope, a lot of dings in the next couple of minutes. And so any chance to talk will be, you know, might be interrupted by people joining in.
No worries.
So what I thought was that I'd wait for just a few minutes and let people get on the line. And then once we have, we're expecting about 10 or 15 people. Once we have a certain number of people, I thought we'd all introduce ourselves, kind of get a feeling for who's on the telephone, and then have a chat about the subject. So it kind of feels like we might be twiddling our thumbs for just a few minutes.
No worries. I'll just hang on and let me know when we get introducing ourselves. So.
Okay. And is that Aurelie on the line?
Well, yes, it's me.
Okay. Hi, we're stalling a bit, waiting for people to join us. We'll keep hearing dings.
Okay, Jan?
Yeah?
Janet Smith just joined you.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, I'm from your Houston group last summer.
I remember. We'll go through introductions again in just a couple of minutes to get people on board.
Hi, Jan.
Hello, who's this?
Serena.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you, love. Okay. Every time I hear a ding, I keep wanting to start over again and say that we're waiting for people to join us. For any of you who received the I've been sending out way too many emails, and I really apologize for that. Getting this coordinated has been a bit of an exercise. The last email I sent out was to the Australian because somebody called in one day ahead of time and by accident, and they were asked to press the pound sign. But in Australia, that's called the hash sign. She sent me an email saying, oh, my God, I don't have such a key on my telephone. What do I do? And when I lived in Australia, my daughter had had the same experience about the hash sign. She said, what is that? And what do I do? So I had to send out an emergency email to the Australian saying, okay, guys, you know, when they say press the hash sign, here's what, I mean, the pound sign, here's what you do. So it's been a
This is Rika.
Hi, we're kind of waiting a minute or two for people to join us.
Okay.
Yeah, and who's this?
Rika.
Hi,
from Katoomba in Australia.
Yes. Hi, Rika.
Is that Jan?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Great. Hi.
Hi, Jan. This is Wendy from Forbes in Australia. We call it the hatch key, not the hash key. I think, isn't
okay.
it hatch? So, like in crosshatch?
Yeah.
So that makes sense if you look at the symbol.
It makes perfect sense, but when somebody gets on the phone and they're anxious...
Well, why do you call it the pound key?
Because in the U.S. that's a shorthand symbol for LB, for the weight pound, rather than the sterling pound.
Okay.
So it's just one of those minor cultural glitches.
Yeah.
Just breathe. I have a clock in my office that says it's 7 minutes past the hour. And I have many clocks in my house. They all say different things. Not knowing what the truth is.
I have my computer in front of me, and it says 5:06.
Okay, close enough. I'll take that. So people may be joining us for several minutes. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go around and do some introductions? And here's what I would like, if you don't mind, or if you're willing. Number one, you don't have to say a word. You can sit in silence. That's one of the privileges of telephone conferences. But if you would like, I'd love to hear your name first and last if you want, but it's not necessary, and where you're calling from, and also what questions you might have. And I'm going to be taking notes because it will help me to try to cover in the first section those areas that you have the strongest interest in. So we'll go around and find out who's on the line and pick people up as they come on board. Find out what specifics or particular or what area of interest really intrigues you on the topic. And then I'll speak for a bit about it. And then we'll take a break at the 1 hour mark because for some people that's enough. And then for those of you who want to continue, we'll go on, and I hope to have a discussion rather than me handling all the rest of this teleconference. So what seems to work really well in these is if you say your name, I'll say it back to you, and that'll establish whose turn it is to speak. Otherwise, we have a lot of people speaking at once. And if you say your name and I don't say it, you may have silenced your phone. That means you'll have to unsilence it. So if anybody would like to start with your name and where you are and what your interest is today.
Hi, I'm Wendy from Forbes, Australia.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I'm really interested in the reason, will, and emotion, what they call the banana. I mean, I can relate to the emotion wanting pleasure, but I'm not so sure on the reason wanting love and the will wanting control, which probably tells you what sort I am. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm phoning from Brisbane. I've kind of read the lecture a few times, and I think I understand quite a bit about the concepts, and I think I can identify as being a reason. So if when you go over it, that you go over some of the qualities of reason, maybe I'll be part of the discussion later.
Okay.
Thank
Welcome,
you.
Tom.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Selena from Singapore.
Hello, Selena.
Yeah, hi. I haven't quite read it yet, but I'll just listen in.
You're very welcome, Selena.
Hi, I'll say, I'll go next. So, Rika.
Rika.
Rika from Katoomba in Australia. And I'm just interested to be a part of an international teleconference. And I have read the lecture, but I haven't really studied it that much yet either.
Welcome,
so,
Rika.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes?
I'm sorry. My name is Larissa. I'm from South Australia, from Adelaide. Can you hear me?
Just barely. Is this Larissa?
Yes, Larissa. I'm sorry. I've got a call for 3 days. So I'll, yes, I'm from Adelaide. This is my first time experience. I started to read lectures a couple of months ago. So probably I will be listening today. My main question at these days is my emotions, how to control them and all about, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome,
hi.
Marissa. Go ahead.
Hi, Jan. This is Karina.
Hi, Karina.
Hi, Karina.
Hi. Hello. From Australia, in Shepparton, Victoria. I'm just wanting to probably keep my knowledge of what I know about the lectures so far, but yeah, just deepen my understanding of my own reason and emotion.
Well, welcome, Karina.
Thank you, Dan.
So what we're doing right now is introducing ourselves with our name and where we're calling from and any particular questions or interest you may have. so I can make sure I cover as much as I can in the first half hour or so.
Hi, this is Aurelie.
Hello, Aurelie.
Calling from Austin. And I haven't read the lecture, so I would like to be able to ask any questions later, as soon as we start talking about the topic.
Welcome, really.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Sonia.
Hello, Sonia.
Hello, calling from New South Wales, Australia. And I don't have any particular questions at the moment about the lecture, so just really wanting to be part of it.
Welcome, Sonia.
This is Lila from Denver, Colorado. I've read the lecture and no particular questions.
Okay. Could I have your name again?
Lila.
Hello, Lila. Welcome.
This is Janet Smith calling from Houston, Texas. And I don't have any particular questions right now. I may have some later.
Welcome, Janet. Glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak up? Okay, so let's start. Now, we'll hear chimes when people come on board, but I'm going to let that go for the moment, and then we'll see if I hear chimes, we'll try to pick up and find out who else has joined us in just a few minutes. You'll also hear chimes if anyone exits the conference. If that becomes annoying, I'll turn that part off. It's finger dexterity time, so I may hit the wrong key. I'd rather not hit any keys than do something drastic. So the packages that I sent out for reasonable emotion can be daunting. I certainly didn't expect anybody to read the entire thing. But it's a huge concept in pathwork. And so what I wanted to do was give people the idea of the breadth of the discussion so that you could find something that appealed to you. But I'm going to start from the basics. So the first thing I'm going to do is frame the discussion and tell you what perspective I'm speaking from. And then I'm going to go over the will, reason, and emotion types in more detail. So in the first place, breaking down the a human being into personality types is an artificial thing. We have to be light about this. We have to realize that no one is a type. Okay? But it's useful to break things down and look at them individually, and then we have to unfold them into the entire personality structure. So no one is a type, and there are no pure types. The second thing that is important to remember here is that as a human being, you're already in the will category, because it took will to get born. And it took will to get to the place where you are looking around for spiritual work and you have found something and you have managed to get on the telephone and make an appointment and show up. It takes will to do this. So when we talk about the types in a classroom of people who are gathered together to discuss spiritual topics, we've done a self-selecting process already. So there's a bias toward will in such a group. Now, most of you know that I tend to joke a lot and use a lot of humor because it speeds a discussion through. The emotion types are having a barbecue today. They're not here. They're with their family. They're having fun. Okay? So the pure emotion types aren't here. The reason types are reading a book or they're at the library or they're doing research. They're not here either. The pure will types are out leading armies and conquering continents. So when I work with people, I recognize that I have a group of people who have activated their will and who have elements of reason and emotion, and it floats and balances and moves around quite a bit. It's very quicksilver. We may have more emotion characteristics at work or at home versus at work versus in other aspects of our lives. So we have to be very generous and gentle in naming our qualities and in looking at these things, because we're complex beings. Also, all of us value, besides having the will component, all of us value some level of order, okay, which is the quality of the reason type. And we also all value some level of connection, which is the strong quality of the emotion type. So as you look at yourself, what you're looking for is tendencies. When you read these charts and graphs and these, you know, these lists, this is not one of the pop quizzes in the magazines where you say, I am this type. There are tendencies, and they will shift back and forth. They will also shift back and forth as you mature and develop. You can be an emotion type in your childhood and teenage years, and then move into being more of a reason type in your early adult years, and go back and forth later in life. So it's interesting to see where you are, and it's important to be light about where you, light meaning generous and gentle, about where you have been and how you may have shifted your own perspective. Now the other reason to look at reason, will, and emotion types is it helps us to understand where other people are coming from. Someone who's coming from a place of emotion and you meet them with reason, there could be a lack of communication or frustration. If you understand what they're looking for and you understand what you're looking for, then there's a possibility of creating a larger place of connection between the two of you. So it's useful for that. So that's the framing for the discussion. So I'm going to start with will types now, and then we'll go to reason and then emotion. If you have any questions or if I'm not clear, please go ahead and interrupt me. We're a small group and we can manage this. So don't let me confuse you. Sometimes I can even hear the confusion as I speak it, but sometimes I don't. When we talk about will, there are two different forms of will, actually, and they're developmental. And an easy way to identify that is the undeveloped will tends to be defended. And the developed will has the possibility of being undefended. So will, I don't know what that sound is about. So that's not on my list. okay. Sorry about that, little cuckoo clock. Within the will spectrum, there's a broad range. Okay? On the extreme of the will, in the defended will is attempting to utilize reason and emotion. It's trying to master them, to control. From the developed side, in the undefended place, the will is looking to serve reason and emotion as appropriate in a given circumstance. So the difference is the defended will is trying to win, and they'll do whatever they have to do. The undefended will is trying to allow for a universal win, a positive aggression, following the plan of salvation and God's will, and they're looking to support whatever is appropriate in the moment. But that's a distinct shift in perception on the side of the will. So in a will type, there's a tendency to break things down into duality. All the types do, but will in particular will break things down into how do I win versus what does losing look like. And in the lecture, lecture 143 on duality, another way of saying this is what is life and what is death. So the will type, the will in our personality is instinctively and appropriately trying to keep us alive. But on an emotional level, staying alive can include not being shamed. It can include not being fired. It can include staying with someone rather than being alone. So we're looking for not only life, but a better and better quality of life. And when we frame that in this is better and this is worse, underneath that is win-lose, and underneath that is life-death. And it's really useful to see in your own lives where you are approaching things in a black and white, win-lose, yes-no duality. And that is most strong in the will type, or a blend of will-reason, will-emotion. Okay? So for the will type, it is win-lose. In terms of evil intent, so lecture 43 talks about the personality types of reason, will, and emotion. There are many, many lectures that talk about triads like this. And if for any reason lecture 43 doesn't communicate well with you, you can take a look at lecture 30, which is about pride, self-will, and fear. And these are aspects of lower self within reason, will, and emotion. Interestingly, they're not, sometimes they're not delineated in the same way. So in pride, self, will, and fear, self, will is the lower self quality of the will type. Okay? Self, will means my will instead of God's will, individual will instead of community will.
So would that be the defended will you were talking about earlier?
Yes. So the undefended will would be wanting to support all of us, whatever that means. But the defended will is seeing things from a very
egocentric.
Thank you. Egocentric. Defended will works from an egocentric place, even if they talk about it in other words and describe it differently. It's about me and mine, rather than us and ours. Now, when you talk about us and ours, that can sound very charming and wonderful. The question is, how big is the us and ours? So if us and ours involves your family, your town, your city, your nation, there's still others that you're excluding. And that's simply an enlarged sense of ego rather than being undefended. Does that make sense? So in lecture 30 on pride, self, will, and fear, that's about the lower self quality of the reason, will, and emotion type. Then in lecture 248, they get really serious. And they talk about the manifestation of evil. And for the will type, the manifestation of pure evil is separation. And separation is inevitable the minute you chop someone else out of the picture. Even if in my separation I include, for instance, everybody who's on the phone is part of my tribe. You are good, the others are bad. I am still encouraging separation. So no matter how many I include, the desire to exclude is a process of allowing negative intentionality. So one would ask, what are the positive qualities of will? And the positive qualities of will are leadership and courage. And I presume I don't have to say too much about that. That's obviously what we could certainly use on the planet. We can use in our families. We can use in our workplace. Everybody has a quality of courage and leadership. Where it gets tricky with will is that a person can help the planet sometimes from very, very small and seemingly inconsequential places. A person doing the very, very best they can in a particular job, in a particular situation, can change the planet. They can change the destiny of civilization. So will, courage, and leadership are not exclusive to the showmanship area of being a general, being a political leader, being a boss, being a supervisor. Leadership, true leadership, can be completely it is a spiritual quality. So are there any questions right now about will, or shall I move forward? Silence means consent. Okay. Let's move on to reason. Okay. Reason type. The reason type. Now,
there it is again.
I'm afraid that what that is call waiting, and I did not turn my call waiting off.
Oh.
We'll periodically hear this as my beloved brother attempts to connect with me. Reason types are looking for order in the universe. Okay? They value structure. They might translate that into valuing sanity versus insanity. Structure versus chaos. Order versus lawlessness. But the lines aren't as clearly or crisply drawn as they are in the will type until you start merging and get a will reason type. So the reason type on the far end of the spectrum is only looking for order. And they feel they can find God there. They feel in the peace and quiet of an orderly home or an orderly existence, living under the rule of law, living under a system that has rules to protect and support, that they can flourish, that they can blossom and bloom, that they can become more of who they wish to be. If they're threatened or they can't deal with this, they'll withdraw rather than argue about it. Arguing about it is a will thing. So the reason type will tend to withdraw. Again, using lecture number 30, power, self-will, and fear, pride, self-will, and fear. Oddly enough, the word pride in the Patrick lectures can be very confusing. In Greek, there are many words for love and many words for pride, but in English, we're sometimes limited. So it can be confusing in the lectures when the guide talks about love or emotion or pride, because there are different aspects of these words, and the guide is addressing a different aspect, and yet we'll use the same English word. So in the lecture on pride, self-will, and fear, the guide does explain that there are good types of pride, and there are defended and distorted types of pride. And they mention types of pride in terms of the emotion and the reason personality types. In the reason personality type, the pride that we're looking at is one of superiority, a feeling that they have a better way of addressing a situation, a superior answer to things. But that superiority is not a conquering superiority that the will type might have. That kind of superiority and pride is a way of distancing to gain solitude, to gain serenity. So that is the lower self quality of the reason type, that kind of pride. In terms of evil manifestation, lecture 248, the evil manifestation of the reason type is materialism. Now, that word can also be misunderstood. We're not talking about possession grabbing, because that's a will quality. Materialism in this context refers to wanting things to be provable. So the reason type, provable.
Okay.
The reason type wants proof. The reason type will believe in God if a miracle happens and can be documented. If you can't document it, they're not sure they want to believe in that, because that requires faith and an emotion that feels chaotic to them sometimes. Please understand I'm talking about extremes here. I'm talking about a very, very pure reason type. We'll want to know why. They'll want to know what's going on, who's over here, who's over there, what's the layout, what is the law, what is the rule, scientific proof. Okay? But in that materialism, obviously they're not allowing for knowing.
Tom, basically we dropped out of the loop. We just come back
in. No worries. So we're talking about the reason type, and the evil manifestation of evil is a demand for materialism or proof. So the reason type will basically discount anything that can't be proved. There's an obvious dilemma to that, and that is that proof is dependent upon our science and our capacity to prove. So 50 years ago, when there used to be discussions about auras, people could easily say, you've got to be kidding. Today they have cameras that can take pictures of auras. They have scientific instrumentation that can give readings that indicate fluctuations that can't be explained any other way than the human energy system. So there's an ability now for reason types to feel more comfortable with spirituality due to science, whereas years ago it took faith to simply believe that there was a human energy system, that there were auras, that people could magnetically attract things to themselves. That's not something that's easy for a pure reason type to understand. Okay? Now when you get a combination, in the will type you'll get a combination. And the combination, a pure will type will use reason or emotion qualities depending on what serves them in the moment. But there also are will reason types that have a preference for reason, and there are will emotion types that have a preference for emotion. So hopefully you can see that there's a spectrum here. And if you put reason on one end and emotion on the other and will on the center, there's a tendency to lean one way or lean the other, or to flip back and forth. But you don't have a reason-emotion combo. That's just not on the menu. If you're bouncing back and forth between reason and emotion qualities, you're a will type and you're bouncing on purpose to achieve something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go on to emotion types. So let me recap. So will is looking for winning in whatever context they see that in. The reason type is looking for order. Let me say this. Angel, the divine quality of the reason type is true serenity. A reason type, an undefended reason type, is not hiding from reality, can bring a serenity to a situation because they hold this love of order without making it a demand. Now, if we turn to the emotion type, emotion, and what this means with emotion type, and we want to delineate that between feelings and love. When we talk about emotion type, we're talking about enjoying being in the current of feelings, not feelings by themselves. All types across the spectrum have feelings. All types across the spectrum love. But the emotion type loves playing in the river of love, and they don't want to get out. So the emotion type values connection and pleasure. They resist separation because it's not pleasurable and because it's not connected. And they resist intellectual logic if it seems to mean that they can't have connection or pleasure. Okay? They prefer, like I said at the beginning, they're out at the barbecue right now. They're playing with their children and their grandchildren. They're having a good time. Because if you're having a good time, what do you need spirituality for? You've already got it. You've got it in the eyes of your beloved, in the eyes of your family, in the connection of being with other people. And they're right. That is divinity. That is spirituality. Now, using Lecture 30, Pride, Self, Will, and Fear, the lower self quality of the emotion type is fear. Now, that can sound a little paradoxical because one would think that fear is unpleasant. And yet, compared with no feeling at all, fear can be comforting. Fear can consume you, and it can wrap you like you were inside a blanket or a doona, all wrapped up with feeling. It can be such an intense emotion that you can be comfortable within the emotion of fear, and you can be uncomfortable without being wrapped up in an emotion. So the lower self quality of the emotion type is that they want an intense emotional experience without looking at whether that's reasonable, without looking whether that's appropriate, without looking at the outer qualities of what that might mean to other people. They just want to have fun and or have intensive feeling. Again, we're talking about extremes here. So fear can be used also as an excuse for rejecting reason. It can be used as an excuse for taking action. So for the emotion type, if they're wrapped up with fear, they can dismiss logical arguments, and they can dismiss the idea of doing something about it. Because after all, the sky is falling. And when you're all huddled together saying, the sky is falling, the sky, it can feel like you're all together. And remembering that the emotion type values connection above almost anything else. The evil manifestation of the emotion type is half-truth. This is again from Lecture 248. When the emotion type feels threatened, when they feel that connection is at risk, they may use intellect and reason to stay connected, but they don't respect intellect and reason per se. They're using it to stay connected. And this is something that I call emotional logic. And this is a place where someone gives you an argument that sounds good, but under scrutiny, it doesn't stand up. Since many of you know that I'm a film nut, this is one of my arguments against a lot of common popular films, is that to get the film made, they have to tweak the plot. So they just ignore certain realities. And that's what an emotion type does. We're having fun. We want the bad guy to chase them, so we're going to ignore this plot point. Or we're going to invent a piece of fantasy so that we can use the fantasy to springboard into where we want to go. For the emotion type, where we want to go is a place where we're all going together and we're all having fun. And we will sacrifice whether that springboard is valid or appropriate. So my intention was to kind of give an overview of the qualities in extreme of the reason, will, and emotion types. Are there any questions, or is there someplace in particular people would like to go at this point?
I'm sorry, but because of the part I missed, I'm not sure if you discussed the lower self part of reason.
Okay, but I will again. Good to repeat.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. This is from Lecture 30, Pride, Self, Will, and Fear. And I'm going to repeat again because it's a very, very difficult point to be worked on, that in English there are different qualities of pride. And so you have to be careful because pride can refer to different aspects of that quality, if that makes sense.
So reason is associated with pride, is it?
Yes, it is, but emotion is also associated with a different form of pride.
Okay.
So, for instance, spiritual vanity is a quality of an emotion type. That reason types don't attempt to be vain. They don't try to look good because looking good is doesn't fit their profile. They would like to be right. They would like to be appropriate. Their interest is in order and serenity. So their form of pride could be manifested in creating a neat and supportive environment and feeling very pleased with what they are providing or what they have created. Now that kind of pride is different from arrogance, which the will type might have, but it's also different from the kind of look-at-me pride that an emotion type might have. So the pride... Pride is a lower self element to the reason type because they can be very self-satisfied with what they have achieved, which is egocentric. Instead of looking at the possibility that even though we desire something, it's not appropriate in the moment. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? So I'm going to go over again reason, will, and emotion. Okay, I'm going to do this about three times using different charts from the handouts that I emailed out and put on the website because every time you hear it from a different angle, it perhaps solidifies a little bit your understanding. There's no one way to understand this. So for the will type, the divine attribute is courage and power. The worst fear that they have, the core childhood pain that they have, is helplessness. Now, in literature, I like to use forms of literature. George Orwell's 1984 has this wonderful scene where they are breaking the spirit of the protagonist in the book. And they have talked about it throughout the book, and they call it Room 101. And in Room 101, you face your worst nightmare, and they claim that this will break you. So at the end of the novel and the film, they put him in Room 101, and he does have to face his worst fear. And he does do the thing that he never believed he would do. He says, do it to her, not to me. And that's what breaks him, because that displays that he doesn't love her, that he considers himself more important than his beloved. So for a will type, to feel helpless is absolutely devastating, and they will do anything other than feel that again. The will qualities include direct knowing, a certainty about what is true, not from arrogance, but from using the best of their qualities and the best of their abilities to try to find the most appropriate and most useful answer in the circumstances. Also courage and leadership. They're good leaders. They just get things done. They do whatever it takes to get things done. And when a will type is undefended and balanced between reason and emotion, they freely use wisdom and love, which are the characteristics of the other type. So, to some degree, all of us can aspire to be an undefended will type because we become all types. Now, that's a joke because you can find that in any one of the types, that when you come into an undefended state, you are all. So, unity can be reached through any type of personality, any type of action, any type of profession, any type of spiritual task. The question is, can you get through to the truth of your being? Can you find divine essence? And once you do, it doesn't matter what doorway you've gone through.
But does one... I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Does one have a harder time becoming balanced than another?
No. Understand that, at least according to the Patrick Guide lectures, there's no quality judgment. There's no value judgment on these qualities. Okay? The question is, well, why bother to learn them? Because human beings manifest them.
Mm-hmm.
And we manifest them because we're all attempting to do different things. There is no single spiritual task. So to do one task, you need different qualities than to do another task.
Okay.
So for instance, I'm going to digress for a moment. I have to work within the belief system of the Patrick Lectures, otherwise it makes no sense what I'm going to say. The Patrick Lectures say that we manifest with a spiritual task to do. And that when we manifest, we have actually chosen our gender, our place of birth, our personality, our skills, and our abilities. Another way to look at that is besides choosing all these qualities, we have also chosen to tie X number of hands behind our back. Because if you can do anything, you can become unfocused. But if you have limitations, that can help channel you along a certain path. So you may have chosen a character structure and personality that is very much aligned with emotion. Not because emotion is the right way or the only way or the best way, but because by being aligned in that way, you will most easily and effectively achieve your spiritual goal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So going back to this same, what I'm trying to do is do this in bite-sized chunks, go over the same qualities with each personality type. So in the reason personality type, the divine attributes are wisdom and serenity. Now, I emphasized serenity and order before, but I want to add in the quality of wisdom. Wisdom is being able to wait and see. Wisdom is a quality of believing that there's a plan. In not feeling that there's chaos, in not feeling that in not acting we're going to lose in any way whatsoever. And the reason type has the potential to hold that space. The space of waiting to see. Of
Excuse me, does that mean that there's space involved? Like space?
Faith
for certainty,
meaning,
is that part of it as well?
Well, not necessarily. To use wisdom doesn't mean that you absolutely know the answer. What it can mean is it's a quality of maturity in human beings, usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you get after living X number of lives on the X number of years on the planet, plus X number of lives, is you get to the place where you don't think that we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket tomorrow. You get to a place where you don't think the sky is falling. You get to the place where you do not think that when X person gets elected versus Y person that the world is going to blow up. That we're all going to get through this. You believe in the larger picture. That's really where wisdom is coming from. And what wisdom gives you is the courage. Notice I'm mixing the qualities in because you can't keep them separate. What wisdom gives you is the courage to create faith, which I think is your question.
Yes. Yeah, no, you've answered it. Thank you.
Yeah. So the ability to pause. People have that capacity because they are not afraid what's going to happen in the next second or two. And they're willing to see. They're willing to let it unfold. So you can see where the wisdom type who holds wisdom and serenity can move at a slow pace and allow people to say what they need to say and believe that eventually we'll all get the answer. And they are not governed so much by fear. Now, fear infects all three personality types. We are not immune to any particular thing. Core childhood pain, the worst fear imaginable for a reason type is the pain of rejection. Imagine that if you believe that there is a plan, you are afraid that you're not good enough to participate in the plan. Now that is, again, we're mixing things. To some extent, that involves connection and disconnection, because we can't only talk about one thing. We're all, you know, this is unity we're talking about here. But the idea of being rejected and refused entry into the glorious plan that you want to believe is true for everyone is, for the reason type, the worst possible nightmare. Qualities, and this is just what's on one piece of paper, they make great lawyers. They make great therapists. They make great scientists. In terms of popular culture, you don't see a lot of reason films. You see reason documentaries. Okay? Because a reason type is trying to explain something, and they're not trying to engage, they're not trying to whip up feelings, and they're not necessarily trying to persuade. They're trying to present. They've done some work, and they want to offer it to us and would like us to see it. Undefended reason types can actually experience the deepest level of feeling because they can sit there and enjoy it. And they can see it so clearly. So in the beautiful place of serenity that a reason type can create, they have the capacity to exquisitely feel and notice what is going on. So again, no type excludes a quality. No type hoards a quality that another type can't have. It's just a matter of how you get there. Any other questions about reason? Okay. I'm going to do emotion, and then we'll take a break. For some people who like I say, for an hour on the phone, that's a sore ear after a while. Emotion type. Divine attribute is love. Now, does that mean that the will types don't love? No. And reason types certainly love. But in terms of divine attribute, the emotion type, that's their speciality. In an undefended and enlightened and developed place, the emotion type has the capacity to just love the entire universe. The core childhood pain and the worst fear is rage and frustration. Rage because it is ugly, and frustration because it means lack of pleasure. The undefended love type is almost entirely in unity. Now, a few minutes ago, I said that the reason type can also attain a kind of a unity, and that's true. Once again, there are many doorways. We have a preference, and we have given ourselves personalities and characters and skills and spiritual tasks that will take us along a certain road. So some of us come in through the will door, some of us come in through the emotion door, but we're all headed for unity, whether in this lifetime or after another 10,000 lifetimes. Again, this is not emotional love, it's not about the heart, it's about the essence of being one with all. And that's why the emotion type values connection above all else. But in a defended place, that means you stay in the room with me. In an undefended and enlightened place, that means you can go because we are always connected. And I know that. So, kind of gone through that. I'm going to go through two more lists. One is about the forcing currents. I know that at least one of you needed to hang up and redial because of phone card issues. So, I really don't know how to stop.